At most, some of them might be here 3 or 4 hours a week. And it matters what we do in our time here with your children. We take that very seriously. But it actually matters far more with what you're doing with your children when they're not here. Because you have your kids under your influence far more than we ever will here at Kaz Church. And so a year or so ago, we began to talk in leadership meetings about the necessity of equipping parents to better disciple their kids. And today is the day that we decided to make that intentional, that we're going to make certain that we're starting now to emphasize this priority of parents discipling their children. And we don't want this just to be a one-day focus, but an ongoing ministry of our church. So this just gets the conversation started. And so this morning, in our time together today, I want to answer a couple of questions. And the first one is what is God's purpose for us in parenting? And the second one is, what is His provision to strengthen us for what He has called us to do? And so let's pray as we get our time started this morning. Our Heavenly Father, You have blessed us with the opportunity to minister Your Word to our children. And God, it is a high calling, and it is a challenging calling. Strengthen us as a church, whether we have children or not, the people in this place, whether they're in their homes or not right now. I pray, God, that we can come together as a church and raise up a generation of Jesus Christ-loving little people who right now are little people, but someday, God, they would be people who give their hearts, their minds, their souls to Jesus Christ to be His forever. And we ask it in His name. Amen. Nothing, as many of you all know, can quite prepare you for the time when you will become responsible for a child. All at once, it is one of the most beautiful things that can ever happen to you, and it's also one of the most challenging things that can ever happen to you. Almost 15 years ago, we pulled up, my wife and I, to the hospital as a young couple. You know, 2 days later, we left with a fragile little baby strapped in the back seat. And I can remember as we left, having the strongest feeling, this odd feeling, that we were responsible for this tiny human life and that nobody was going to stop us from leaving. You know, that the nurses weren't telling us you have to stay here. They weren't sending manuals home with us on how to do this. They just sent us home with this little baby in the back seat and us not really knowing what we were supposed to do. Just an odd feeling. And a couple of years later, while we were expecting our second child, I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And as life-changing as having a child is, becoming a Christian reprograms everything about you. Everything that you thought you understood about being a husband or as a father or about family, everything, how you work, it is all reprogrammed by the gospel. And so I began to learn as time went on about what my responsibilities were like in the home. I have quite a few books in my office right down the hall. Many of them are written on a specific topic. If you want to learn more about the humanity of Jesus or about what it means to be a pastor, or maybe you're interested in topics like marriage and parenting, I can point you in the right direction. I've got books kind of arranged on topics, but that's not the way the Bible is. The Bible's not arranged like that. So if you want to ask me, well, Lonnie, what does the Bible have to say about parenting? It's not like I can say to you, well, just look in Titus, you know. Titus is all about raising kids. Just read that one and you'll be in good shape. That's not the way the Bible is organized. And so when we're asking ourselves about how God desires for our homes to function and how He wants us to raise our children, there is not a particular place that we go and look and just say that's the place you need to focus your time on. Passages and principles are scattered all over this book that we call the Bible that teach us what faithfulness will look like. And some of the most powerful passages that will shape your parenting won't even mention children, won't even bring them up. Because the gospel itself is the blueprint for every relationship that you have. And in this case, it applies to a parent's relationship with their children. Let me show you what I mean. I think the most direct statement in the New Testament about how you parent your children is found in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul has just spent the first three chapters telling us about what the gospel is, what it means, what Jesus has done for his church. And then he spends the last three chapters telling us about how it fleshes its way out into our lives. And we get one verse. I get one verse here about fatherhood. Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You know, and if I was sitting in front of Paul, I'd be like, "Hey, Paul, I got seven kids, and this is all you got for me. One verse, right? Bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Like, what does that mean? That's such a very general statement that Paul makes here. You know, "Paul, you got a little bit more for me than that? A little bit more than one verse?" And I think he might look at me and say, "Did you not read the rest of what I wrote? Have you not paid attention to everything else that I've said here in this letter?" And maybe then I could backtrack and I could go to chapter 4. And this is what he says at the beginning of chapter 4. He says, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And that is a very general statement about how a follower of Jesus Christ is supposed to relate to other people. But I don't know about you, but that is very applicable for my home. Bearing with one another in love, with patience, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's what parenting is about. There's statements like this all over the Bible, where we don't need Paul or Peter or John or anybody else to tell us this is what a parent's supposed to do. They tell us how relationships are supposed to function. And so, of course, parenting falls into those. So again today, my desire here in our time together is to talk first about God's purpose for us in parenting. Second, his provision. So first is parenting, or first is purpose. We're going to be looking at some general principles here. And a lot of different passages, or a few passages, that we don't normally associate with being a mom or a dad. So first, the purpose. And the purpose of parenting is the glory of God. The purpose of parenting is the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, "Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." So if eating or drinking is included here, surely the way that we raise our children is to be for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for God's glory. So God wants you to raise your children in a way that brings him glory. Every activity, every relationship is supposed to be in obedience to God because we love God for the glory of God. Every relationship that we have, that's why he's given you children. His design in giving you kids was not to bring you fulfillment in your life. It was not just to make you happy. He did not give you kids to make you look good to other people. I mean, if you've had kids for anything more than a year or two, you know that's not what's happening, right? But so often, what do? We try to use our children to compare ourselves to other people, to show them maybe how good we're doing or how successful we're being in this parenting thing. That's not why God has given you children. He's given you children to bring glory to himself. God's purpose for your children is not that they would have better grades than the neighbor's kids, or that they would have good self-esteem, or that they would be good athletes, or whatever other goals that parents set for their kids, usually in comparison with somebody else's kids. God's goal for them is that they would be people, regardless of their station in life, they would be people who honor him, give thanks to him, trust him, love him, obey him, that he would truly be their God, that he would be a reality in their life that changes the course of everything that they do, that shapes the course of everything that they do, and that godly parents who teach and model the gospel would be the means that he uses to make that happen. Parenting is not about what you want or what your kids want. It's about what God wants and what he's created those people to be. My job when I was in the military was to know what my location was and what direction was, say, north at any place in the world at any time. That's what my job was. And so we used instruments, kind of like compasses sometimes, to let us know where we needed to go. And there were times when we were too close to metallic objects, whether they were in the ground or above ground, and they would throw off the direction of our instruments, and we would have to move where we were, reorient, and get ourselves back on track. And as a parent, it is easy to get off track with what we are supposed to be accomplishing in our homes, because we are immersed in a world. We're very close to a world that distracts us from the glory of God in raising our children. And I'm hoping that this morning, if you've begun to make parenting more about something else than about the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will reorient to the direction that God wants your compass to be set. And a good place to begin to reorient yourself to God's design for your home is to acknowledge that your children do not actually ultimately belong to you. They're not yours. God has placed us in the world to be stewards, not owners. That's what God desires. We would be stewards of everything for Him, not owners of everything. Because a steward knows that he doesn't own anything. Everything that he does is on behalf of somebody that is greater than himself. And for the Christian, that applies to everything. We've talked before about how we don't, the money that we have in our bank accounts is not 10% God's and 90% ours. Every bit of it actually belongs to God. We're just taking care of what is His. This applies to our possessions, it applies to our time, and it applies to our children. Those kids in my house that I call them mine, they're really His. And I've been given the privilege of caring for them, for Him, for a very short period of time. And I don't know how you are, but I can be pretty rough on things that are my own. For instance, if I'm doing a project at my house, I can be rough on my own tools because they belong to me. I only have to answer to myself if I damage them or if I break them. But if I need to borrow something from you to finish the job, you can rest assured that I'm going to take better care of that tool because I know that it's not mine. It belongs to you. I can't just do whatever I please with it. Has anybody ever borrowed something from you in the past and said, I'll take care of it like it was my own? You know, I don't know about you, but that didn't really bring me a whole lot of comfort, right? Because maybe I've seen how you treat your stuff, and I don't want you taking care of it like it was your own. I want you taking care of it like it was mine, like it doesn't belong to you. And so I think people will take better care of things that they know don't belong to them. And the same applies to our children. My kids are really God's kids. They belong to Him. And Jesus told a few parables about managers who were left to care for their master's possessions, and that He's going to return someday to see what you have done with the things that are His. And so the master of the house has left you in charge, not just of possessions and not just of time, but God has left you in charge of people. He's left you in charge of people. And you and I are going to give an account for how we cared for their bodies and for their souls while they were underneath our leadership. So as a steward, you are a representative of God and His love. It's very hard for me to imagine that anybody can love, again, my children like I can. But I need to be reminded from time to time that God loves those kids more than I do. He does. He looks at them and delights over them in a way that I could never fathom. And the love that I have inside of myself is just a shadow of what He has. I need to be reminded of that. Yeah, in a sense, they're my kids, but they're really God's kids. And so it's a huge responsibility. It's far greater, quite honestly, than what anybody, any one of us would have known when we first signed up for this. Or maybe you didn't really sign up. It's just something that happened in your life. It's a far greater responsibility than what we knew. And maybe if we knew this, we wouldn't have wanted that responsibility. But God has left us in charge to disciple, to raise up our children in a way that honors Him. And so He hasn't just given us a purpose in parenting, His glory. He has, and then just left us to ourselves. So God hasn't said to you, go and parent your children for my glory, and then just left us to our own resources. God also provides us with what we need to do the job in a way that honors Him. So God's provision for parenting, it's His grace. That's what God gives to us. It is something that has been purchased for us with the blood of Jesus Christ. God gives us His grace to make it possible for us to do this job in a way that pleases Him. We need to understand that whatever God calls us to, He strengthens us for, and that includes parenting. And you know that you need it. If you're responsible for a child's life, you know that you need His grace. Because if you've been a parent for anything more than a year or two, you've had days when you wanted to rip your hair out. I mean, literally. You wanted to rip your hair out. You wanted to take a vacation from your own home. Some of you all have wanted to quit your job as being a parent, right? Yeah, I see some heads shaking because you know what I'm talking about. And you know in the back of your mind that God has called you to make disciples of Jesus Christ in your home, but there are days that you would be happy if they would just quit fighting for 10 minutes. And you'd be pleased with that if they would just stop fighting and arguing with one another and just get along, much less make disciples. So, the actions of these little kids, they often don't make any sense. And we've got a couple of crazy people in our house. We've got a couple of twin three-year-olds that there are times when you don't know if they're going to hug you or hit you. And I mean that. And they do. They get close and you're like, I can't tell. You know, one or the other might just happen at any minute. And 2 seconds later, you know, after they've hit you, they're laughing. Or maybe they're crying. You never can tell what they're going to do. They're not very logical in their actions or in their thoughts. So it's an emotional roller coaster that a parent has to willingly climb aboard and ride day in and day out. And then you look forward. You look forward to a day when they're just a little bit older, right? You get past the terrible twos. You kind of hit a sweet spot for a little while. And then they become teenagers, right? I mean, we had some folks in our life a few years ago, and they were talking about like, oh, I know, you think you've got it hard right now. Just wait till they become teenagers. And you're like, oh, okay, all right. Well, that day comes, you start to see a little bit of what they're talking about. They're not much more sane then than they were when they were 2 or 3. It just looks a little different, right? And so if you've had teenagers, you kind of know. They lose their minds for a while. I lost my mind for a while when I was a teenager, and I'm imagining that you probably did as well. So there's going to be days when you feel like you're starting to get a grasp on this whole parenting thing, and the next day you feel like you've lost all control. It is a real challenge to parent our kids in a way that honors the Lord. But this should not lead us to despair, because our hope is not in our own ability. It's not in our own wiring. It's not in our personality. It's not with what we have in our own toolbox. It is what God gives to us. God promises to provide for what He calls us to be. And if God has called you to be a parent, you can rest assured that God will give you what you need to raise them up in a way that is pleasing and honoring to Him. And I want to read you a passage that is not normally found in many parenting manuals, but I'm going to show you why here in just a minute that I chose to share it. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Well, the Apostle Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. And they had a lot of challenges there, and he had a lot of challenges in his own life. And this is what he says: to keep me from being conceited, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my own weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, just to be clear, I'm not trying to say that children are a thorn in the flesh sent by Satan to harass anybody. Okay? That's not what I had in mind when I chose this passage, even though in the back of my mind I thought that's kind of funny, you know, that I would use that. Because God says that children are a great blessing and a reward from Him. But there are days when that blessing is hidden from your sight. There are some parents here today who are in a great season of difficulty with your children, and you need to hear that God's grace is sufficient for you. That He has given you everything that you need simply by His grace. Blood-bought grace through Jesus Christ. His empowering grace. His sustaining grace. And that's what some of you need to hear this morning. But God's grace isn't always the thing that delivers you from what is the problem. Sometimes it's what we pray for. God, please deliver me. And His grace at times will draw us out of that situation. But more often than not, it is sustaining grace that carries you. That as you go through seasons, months, years of pain and difficulty, God's grace is there to sustain you, to keep you from going back to the bottom, to keep you from despairing as you seek to raise your children. God's grace is sufficient for you. So maybe it is the terrible twos. Maybe it is the teenage years. Or maybe your kids are grown and you're dealing with things, folks, that you would have never would have imagined when you first laid eyes on them. Never would have thought these things would have been possible. Maybe that's the season that you are in right now. You have experienced some great joys with that child, but you have also been brought very, very low. And you know that often it is the people that you love the most that can hurt you the most. The greatest pain that can be brought to you is by the people who you love. And so often that is your children. And God would remind you that you are strongest when you remember your weakness. In all seasons, all circumstances, we have the grace of God at our right hand because Jesus Christ came to give it to us. You have exactly what you need when you need it for every obstacle that you have in this thing that we call parenthood. And I want to give you a couple of ways before we close how God is giving grace to meet the everyday needs of parents. So how is it that God sustains us? What is He doing as He provides for us as parents? The first way that He gives us grace is He gives us grace to change their hearts. We need that grace to change their hearts. Your kids are born sinners. I don't think I need to break that news. I don't think that's like something that you've never thought of before, right? You know that your kids were born sinners. Nobody had to tell my kids how to say no or mine or anything else that they didn't like about what I was doing. Our children know how to respond that way from the first time they even have a voice, or even before they have a voice. They grab things and they scream and they cry. It's because they're born sinners. It's cute when they're little, kind of. But they are tiny tyrants, demanding what they want when they want it. Their hearts don't naturally want to honor God. They're not born with a desire to want to honor God. And so you can try to force obedience, but you cannot force obedience from the heart. I can make my kids do just about anything I want them to do that I think is right, but it does not mean that their hearts want to. And sometimes you can kind of see that on the outside, can't you? Grit their teeth and look at you a certain way, right? From the youngest to the oldest. That's what I want. I want their hearts to want to obey because they love their Father. And it takes God's grace to do that. Not my rules, not my behavior modification strategies. That's not what I want to see. I want their hearts to change. And that's what God wants to do too. And it takes His grace. And so God has called us to simply be faithful with what He has given to us, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have been called to consistently teach who God is, what He has done for you and for your children, and how their hearts should respond in obedience to it. We've simply been called to be faithful. We can't force it. God gives us His grace as our greatest tool, through the gospel of His Son. So moms and dads, we all need to hear here in this room this morning that it is your job, to teach your children the Word of God. I've discovered over the years that more often than not, my words harden my kids if they're not seasoned with grace. So I can make demands, I can get angry, I can get frustrated, I can show them that. I can give them more rules that they're supposed to keep to be pleasing to me. I can do all of that, but more often than not, it hardens them. I need God's word to soften them. He's given me what I need. Not what I think I need right there in the moment. Usually that's frustration and anger. God established the home as a miniature church where parents would pastor their kids. That's what you've been called to be. Every parent in this room is a pastor of sorts, taking care of their hearts so they know what it means to know and love and obey God. And it is not enough for you to bring them to church. I know that's part of it, folks, but it is not enough for you to bring them to church and expect a ministry leader to get the job done. Again, we've got an hour a week. That's all we've got. You've got the rest of the week. Our hope is that the church would come alongside of you and equip you, help you in the job that you have to do. But it's your job to disciple your kids. And as parents, we have to intentionally make time, prioritize that time for the discipleship of our children. And I believe as I stand before God someday, His main concern for me will not be all the extracurricular activities that I had my kids in, or how much I stressed to them, how good their grades are supposed to be, or if they turned out to be a doctor or a doorman. That is not God's main concern with me as a father. It will be how faithful was I in teaching and modeling the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That's what His concern is going to be. And this will be a thing that I have to plan as a father. It will be formal, where I'm supposed to have formal times of instructions with my kids. But as you know, with children, more often things are caught than taught. They need to see how important the gospel is to me. And how it's changing my life. How do I handle their failures? How do I handle my failures? That's what they need to see. In those moments when things have not gone well for us, and that sometimes they don't, how big is my God then? Do I despair? Do I scream and stomp around the house? Am I frustrated and angry, or is my God big enough to handle it? So often things are not formal teaching time. It's things that are informal. They just see how you as a parent respond. So they need you teaching and modeling the gospel in your home. And if you're going to be faithful and intentionally discipling your children to love and follow Jesus, you have to be intentionally investing in your own discipleship. In your own growth as a follower of Jesus. Folks, you can't give your kids what you don't have. It's not as if you can just hand your faith over to them anyway. But if they don't see it in you and it doesn't really make a difference in your own life, why is it going to make a difference in theirs? So if all we do is bring our kids to church and we put on the good face while we're here and we get in the car and we're just right back to what we were before, Christianity, gospel, Jesus, none of those things really matter in the day-to-day grind of life, they're not going to see much importance of it for their own life. So we as parents have to be investing in ourselves. Somebody has to be investing in us, in our discipleship as we learn to love and follow Jesus on our own. So that's first. We're going to need grace. We're going to need grace to change their hearts. Secondly, you're going to need grace to change your own heart too. And this is the beauty of what God is doing. Parenting is a two-way street. We get so caught up in thinking that it's all about me and what I do in my kids' life, we forget that God is using them to make us what He wants us to be. Children are God's instruments, one of His primary instruments in making you holy like His Son. It's a beautiful thing, what God is doing. So their tantrums, their disobedience, all the flaws that they have in their own heart and life. God is not just going to use you to change them. He is going to use those things to change you. These little people are instruments in the hands of God that He's going to use to shape you into the image of His Son. God is revealing through them your idols, your misplaced loves, your lack of control. I mean, your home. I'm kind of one of those people that like to control things as much as I possibly can, and I've just kind of learned over time, as little bit by little bit, I'm not in control of anything, it doesn't seem. But I'm thankful that my God is in control. He's in control. So when you get angry, when you lose control, when you're impatient, God is showing you that you need the same grace that your child needs. You need the same gospel that your kids need. Your kids know that you're not perfect. Don't just teach them with gospel with your words. Show that you believe it with your actions. You're just as sinful as they are. And folks, it just comes out differently. And just because you're the parent, it doesn't mean that you don't need grace. So when you fail, do you ask God for forgiveness for your failures as a parent? And when you fail or sin against your own child, do you ask for forgiveness then too? You need grace through this thing that we call parenthood to make us like Jesus. I need grace. And God uses my kids. So use your weakness as an opportunity to show them that you are not their Savior, that Jesus is. Folks, nobody is doing this perfectly. This all may be completely new to you, and the idea really may be pretty overwhelming as we've begun to talk about it. But everybody here needs to start doing something. Start doing something as a person who is responsible to disciple your children. Pray for direction. We're going to have a meeting here in just a few minutes. Come to the meeting. Hear from some other people, what they're doing in their homes, things that are working, things that aren't working. Take a look at some of the resources that are down there that might help you become more faithful in this responsibility that God has given you in your home. And some of you guys, you don't have kids in your house right now. Maybe you've had them before. Maybe you haven't had them before. Maybe you plan to have them at some time in the future. You have a role in the discipleship of the kids here. We are a church that is supposed to encourage and help everyone here to be the parent that God wants them to be. So you have a role in this, a support and equipping role. God has given us a purpose as stewards of these children, and that's His glory. And He supplies what we need to be as faithful, to be faithful as we aim at their hearts, and that is His grace bought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that we've had here today together to worship You. And we pray that everything that we've done, everything that has been said, has been honoring to Your Son Jesus. And as we dismiss from here in a few moments, Lord, we pray, God, that Your grace would go with us, that You would strengthen us for the task that You have given us as parents. What a huge responsibility. And the longer that we're parents, we see, Lord, that we are unable to change their hearts, but You are. So God, please, please equip us. For the meeting that we have here in just a few moments, Lord, please be with us during that time. Lead that discussion. Foster some conversations that aren't happening right now that could happen, and help somebody here to be more faithful as a parent. Lord, we love You. Thank You for who You are and for Your Son, Jesus. And we pray it in His name. Amen.